The world is changing in ways that seem to be faster than most of us can process. What looks like a divide is an opportunity to build bridges. The Road with Cove Queen Jeanine Sullivan is 1 hour that connects with people from all over the world, finding ways to orchestrate our oneness. Yes, we have more in common than we may sometimes perceive. Tune into The Road with Cove Queen Jeanine as we discover answers to life's most interesting questions and build a bridge of love. Come on in. Join me on this adventure. I want to know how you plan to change your precious corner of the world.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to The Road with Cove Queen Jeanine. I am your host, Jeanine Sullivan, and I'm happy to be with you today. You can hear my show every Wednesday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern Time on DreamVision7Radio.com. The purpose of this show is to build bridges where gaps exist. There is a divide today that needs our immediate attention. The Road with Cove Queen Jeanine offers you a variety of topics intended to enhance your life. With understanding, information, faith, and action, we can bridge gaps that divide us one positive step at a time. My hope is that we leave this hour better than we arrived. I'm a poet and a writer. Tuning in to people has given me the opportunity to listen deeply to individuals. With that and over 30 years working in social services and healthcare, I now desire to share what I have learned with you. You can find me on Facebook by searching The Road with Cove Queen Jeanine and, of course, on DreamVision7Radio.com, where you will find a full listing of their hosts and program, all kinds of valuable information. It's a great website, chock full of all kinds of interesting things. I love to highlight local family-owned and operated businesses, and today I'd like to bring your attention to Duke's Bakery and Cafe, located on 162 Columbia Street in Fall River, Massachusetts. Duke's is a gluten-free bakery with a range of exciting gluten-free products. Duke's Bakery caters to many different allergen sensitivities and lifestyle choices, including paleo. You can call them at 508-837-0624 to learn more about their extensive menu. Chris and Dory are just very educated in all of these different sensitivities to food. They'll be happy to answer your questions. They welcome specialty orders. Of course, when you are making fresh food from scratch, you need to call ahead. They're happy to do that for you, so give them a call and ask them whatever questions you have in mind about gluten-free and paleo. Today, I have a guest with us who's very interesting. His name is Louis Pastana. He's the owner of True Machine Company, located in Swansea, Massachusetts. I invited Lou here today because he has an interesting perspective on life, a thriving business with happy, productive employees, and he enjoys being in service to his community. He has a great sense of humor, an unpretentious personality that makes for a lively life. I know that firsthand because I've known Lou for a few years. I'm anxious to have you get to know him, so let's bring him in. Hi, Lou. Come on in and join us.
Hi, Jeanine. How are you today?
I'm great. I'm so happy to have the opportunity to talk to you today and share what I see as a very interesting story with our listeners. I'd like to begin, if I may, going back in your life quite a few years. Your first wife died of breast cancer at a young age. How old was she, Lou?
She was 42. She was diagnosed at 38, and 2 years was full of treatments, and it seemed like everything was going well, but then she developed a brain tumor, and then from there it was just chasing it all through her body, and the next 2 years were not pretty. But
right.
I tried to make her enjoy life as much as I could at that time. And it's a trying time when you get someone going through cancer that you love.
It is a trying time, and one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this topic today is most of us know someone who's dealing with cancer, and sadly most of us know someone who's died from cancer. She died young, leaving you with a teenage daughter, am I correct?
Yes, she was 17 at the time.
And one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show today, Lou, is to hear the male point of view. You know, I'm thinking that so many men go through this sort of situation and don't have the proper opportunities to voice their stress, to share their sorrow, to process their grief. I'm wondering if you agree, number one, and how did you deal with all of this at the time?
Well, men have male friends, and the male friends, they're just like, yeah, I know what you're going through. Let's go have a beer. They don't really like to talk about it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had some friends where they've been very, very supportive. But it seems like the female friends I have had, the wives of the friends, they were so much more supportive. Like, we have a friend of ours, and she was a registered nurse, and she used to come over the house and make sure everything was okay. She would check to see what the nurses did during the day. So you get a lot of support that way. I was very, very lucky. And my mother-in-law spent some time at the house. But, you know, my daughter was entering college at the time. And when she saw her mom being so sick, she says, I don't think I can stay in college. I'll go back next year. And I was kind of upset about it. But I allowed her to get out. And then she did go back the following year and complete her college education. And she's doing very well. She's 42 today. We have two granddaughters.
Yeah,
and they're the apple of our eyes, and
yes.
They are so funny. I think the young one takes after me, because she's an instigator.
Then you got your hands full, I'm sure.
Yes, I do.
After your wife passed away, Lou, you know, life had to be a bit of a struggle, dealing with your grief and raising a teenage daughter, and I wonder if you could speak to anybody in the audience, but I'd like the men to hear, you know, how did you manage at that point? Because that was, now you're entering a whole new dynamic of your own life, and you have to deal with your own feelings, too, and raise your daughter.
Yes. Yeah, it was kind of, you know, it was a tough time, and my daughter didn't want me to be by myself, and a lot of times, you know, she, what are you going to do tonight? I says, I don't know, I'm probably just going to go out, get something to eat or whatever, and come back. Well, let me go with you. I said, no, you get your friends, go with your friends, and I'll survive. But you spend a lot of time when you're by yourself, and you cry a lot, and you try to move on, and I did a lot of my grieving while my wife was sick.
Did you?
And
yeah.
It was, you know, there was times when I was in my office at 3 o'clock in the morning, my mother-in-law was at the house, and not knowing which direction I'm going, and I'm crying my eyes out, and no one actually saw that. So after my wife passed away, I was like relieved, because no one should have to suffer that much. And it was times, there was really trying times at the end. You know, you know there's no hope left, and you want them to get better, but you know it's not going to happen, but you want it to end, because no one should have to suffer like that. And
well, go ahead, Lou.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, I just have to say I'm pleased that you said all of that way. I think it's great that you are telling us that you were alone crying, and that the rough part for you was towards the end. What did you do to deal with it? What were you doing for yourself at that time to deal with what was imminent and just the array of stress that fell upon you towards the end of your wife's life?
Well, I was there for my wife, but I was trying to take care of everyone in the family, her mother, her father, my daughter, our friends, you know, and there were trying times that we, you know, we would all get together and we'd cry. And mm-hmm. you just hope for the best. And like I said, you know, but when she passed away, I remember saying to myself, thank you, there is a God. And I mm-hmm. know she was in a better place at that time because mm-hmm. she suffered so much. And it's a rough, rough time, but you seem to move on. And I think I moved on a little faster than other people because I accepted it. But mm-hmm. I did a lot of grieving while she was sick for the 4 years, not knowing yeah. which direction my life was going in.
Right. And, you know, and that's an interesting point because I'm not sure people actually say that out loud. But when we know someone that we care about's life is coming to an end, we do begin the grieving process at that point.
Exactly.
So we've already processed quite a bit of emotion and all of that beforehand. And I'm really happy that you brought that up because I talk to people all the time and I've never heard that spoken out loud, that the grieving process can begin even before the person has passed away.
Absolutely. Some people, everyone grieves in a different manner. And I think mm-hmm. I did a lot of my grieving before. And when I met my new wife, it was a short period after my wife passed away. And some people were like shocked, like, oh my God, so soon, so soon. And I had this one particular woman told my father-in-law, I just can't believe it's so soon. So I actually called her. And she, mm-hmm. when she answered the phone, I said to her, I says, hi, and I don't want to use her name, but I says,
right.
hi, you know, how you doing? She says, what do you want? I says, well, my father-in-law told me that he told you about my friend, and I just wanted to call you. She goes, it's none of my business. I says, you're absolutely right, it is none of your business, but you're a friend and I wanted to call you. And we talked a little bit and she said to me, all I can say is it's too soon. So I just said back to her, I said, what's too soon? I looked up grief in a dictionary and I didn't see a time limit. Mm-hmm. And no one saw me when I was, like I said before, when I was in my office, 3 o'clock in the morning crying my eyes out. No yeah. one saw me yeah. at night. Nobody saw me when I was by myself. And I told her, you really have to meet her. And then one day, she came over to my home when we were having a party, and she crashed the party, and she wanted to meet Linda. So I gave mm-hmm. her the introduction, and they went out for lunch, and it was like nothing ever happened. Like, she was so happy for me after that. And people judge so easily today. They just yeah. judge so easily. And there were times when my wife was sick where I would take her on vacation. I tried to book a vacation every 5 or 6 weeks between her treatments and take her somewhere. And sometimes it was very difficult. She was in a wheelchair. She could walk, but not long distances. So I would mm-hmm. take her in a wheelchair. We'd go. We went to Vegas. We went to Palm Springs. We went to Aruba. And she had the best time she could in her condition. Mm-hmm. But I did my best. And I was very lucky. I had a supervisor who ran this business like it was his. So while I was away, my customers and him, they took care of my business for me because mm-hmm. they knew the type of person I was and they wanted to help so much and they would just send work in and just do it. Don't even give me pricing. Just get it done and get it back to me and tell me how much it is. So it's very, very important to have a lot of support when you're going through something like this. And my customers and my workers were right there for me. And I never forgot them.
Well, you know, Lou, it sounds to me like you did have a great deal of support at the time. But for the people out there who don't easily ask for help, what would you suggest to them?
If they need to get into a group of some type that they're comfortable in, and they might not find it, the first group fits their needs. So mm-hmm. if you find a group, a little support group, and you don't feel comfortable there, you got to move on.
Right.
So
You were involved in a support group, if I understand, and after your wife passed, you actually continued participating in that support group. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, my wife had a support at the hospital, a chaplain that was she really, really connected to. And I know Janine knows the story, but I will go into it a little bit. The chaplain at the hospital was a sister for 25 years, and my wife and the chaplain really, really connected. And when I walked into the room, it was like, if she was there, it was like my wife wasn't even sick anymore. It was quite a connection. And I followed her out of the room one day, and I said, do you make house calls? Because you do for my wife what no psychiatrist, no medicine could possibly do for her. So she says, give me your phone number, and I'll call you every so often. And she did, and we stayed in touch. And my wife didn't want to join the support group that she was running. And I told my wife, I said, look, Sister Linda is running the support group, and she needs support. She needs people to be in it to help each other. And she's helping you, so we have to join the support group. So we did. And there was five other women in there. And you create such a bond between these women. And after my wife passed away, I continued going to the support group, not for me, but for them, because I was on the other side of the fence. And they would come to the group and ask me questions. Like one of the girls that were in the was in the group, she said that she was on oxygen at the time, and she would go home, and then her husband would come in and smoke. And he's not—you can't mm-hmm. smoke in a house when there's oxygen. And
right.
Sister, you have to tell him. You have to tell him. And if you don't tell him, I'm going to tell him, because it's not the right thing to do. And it
right.
could be a disastrous situation. So
sure
she went
yeah.
home the next week she come back, and she said, my husband was oblivious to it. He didn't even realize it. That's just what he did. He worked all day, and he came home, and he would just have dinner and smoke.
Right.
But he realized it, and he would go outside now and have cigarettes.
Mm-hmm. It was just a matter of a habit that he was
right.
Quite unconscious.
Right, and a couple of the girls, their husbands left them because they couldn't handle the disease. And I was
yeah.
so upset at that because, you know, if you put the shoe on the other foot, the wife would probably be there for them. But you
mm-hmm.
hear this more and more about a husband taking off, or they can't handle the wife's disease. It's
right.
it's sad. It's really, really, really sad.
It is,
you know,
sad,
it's
Lou.
In good times and bad times, in sickness and health, you know.
True. I agree with you 100%. And I want to stress that point a little bit, because it is very common that families fall apart when there's a terminal illness involved.
Yeah.
You clearly put a great deal of thought into your actions during the whole disease process and afterwards. But for the average person who is living their life kind of on automatic, not necessarily thinking things through, what can you say about this abandonment that does happen when somebody is suffering a terminal illness?
Yeah. But if you actually sit, you know, when you sit down with someone that's going through that and you really listen to them, I think people that have an issue with trying to not deal with it, they might
mm-hmm.
come out with a different perspective on that person. But so many people just, leave me alone, I don't want to talk about it, And it's,
well, that's the point, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the program today is, we just have to open up this dialogue and have the conversation about the array of emotions that the family goes through. And I wanted you here because of the male point of view. I wanted the men in the audience to be educated as to the process of dealing with terminal illness before and after and all the different steps. I wanted them to hear from another man what's involved in going through all of that, including dealing with your own emotions openly.
Exactly. Like there was things, you know, if I look back, there was things I would have done differently today. Like with my daughter, like she was, you know, she was like almost 14 when my wife was diagnosed. And all through her illness, if my daughter asked me questions about her mom, I said, she's okay, she's okay. I didn't want to burden her with it. And I would give her, you know, I'd give her a $50 bill or a $20 bill. Hey, go buy yourself something at the mall. And, you know, mm-hmm. and I just try to cover it that way. But I would probably get her more involved today, even at that young age, to see that it's part of life.
Yeah.
And, you know, you try to shelter them because you think they're, you know, they're innocent children. And but it's all a part of life. And I think if I would have done that, not saying my daughter would have turned into a different person, because she's a wonderful mother and wife today, and she has a great relationship with her husband. I worry about her. She's 42. I just worry about her and about if she's going to develop breast cancer sometimes in her life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she's been good so far, knock on wood, and you take every day as a gift.
You do take every day as a gift, that's for sure. You've certainly developed a fabulous attitude around the whole thing. Do you have an opportunity to talk to men about this topic often?
Not as much. I do. Like a few of my friends, their wife passed away, and I spend some time with them. What happens is, after a while, it seems like we get separated a little bit, but I'll always try to at least send them a little text or a call and just try to stay in touch with them, make sure they're doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them don't ever want to be in a relationship again. Some other ones really want it, but they're looking for the right person, you know? But it's time, you know, it's got to be at their time frame where their grieving may have been different than mine. They
yep.
might not have
Luke.
Grief. Yeah.
Lou, I'm going to hold you there. We're up against the break.
Okay.
We'll be right back, everyone, and we'll hear more about Lou Pestana's story. Thank you.
Quest into the heart of nature with two acclaimed guides of earth-based wisdom, Survivor Man star Les Stroud and shamanic healer Lynn Roberts. In this 5-day workshop at Omega, August 6th to 11th, you'll restore and nourish your healing connection with the earth and explore ancient practices from cultures around the world. Mention discount code DREAM for 10% off when you register for this workshop with Survivor Man Les Stroud and Lynn Cedar Roberts. Learn more at eomega.org.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
Are you ready for the quantum age?
Humanity's next step in evolution?
Dream Vision 7 Radio Network invites you to the extraordinary platform of Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age.
Let's explore. Learn more about this upcoming age where we bridge science with spirituality.
Where potentiality meets reality.
Where we take compassion into action.
Our trailblazers and visionaries will ask the whys, the what ifs, while igniting continuous possibility.
Come along with us into an age beyond what we know today, where we can grow together in unity consciousness.
Experience Evolutionary Voices for the Quantum Age, Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern on DreamVision7Radio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're here today with Louis Pestana, and he's sharing a very interesting story about his first wife who passed from cancer, and he found himself widowed, raising a teenage daughter, and dealing with all of the wide array of emotions of loss, death, and grief. We're having a great conversation here. Lou, welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. One of the things that I wanted to get into today is, you mentioned it in the first portion of the show, you began your grief prior to your wife's death.
Yes.
When she passed, you were already in the motion of coming out of your grief and getting ready to continue with life, because life does go on.
Yeah, and I'm a people person, so I knew I was not going to be by myself for a long time.
Right.
Because
I needed
a relationship. I needed a friendship. And thank God I found someone. Some people don't get a second chance in life, and to be happy twice. You know.
Well, that's what I want to talk about in this portion of the show, because it's true. Not everyone gets a second chance at life and a chance at love. And I'd like you to talk about that. You hinted at it earlier that some people in your circle thought that you were moving forward too soon.
Yeah.
And just run with that and tell us about that experience and meeting someone that you fell in love with and how all that went for you.
Okay, I'm going to tell all the readers now, all the listeners, I should say, to put your seatbelts on, because here's what happened. I was telling you about the support group, and the sister that was running a support group that was very, very involved with my wife's life spiritually, and I told her I would take her out for dinner one night for her birthday with my father-in-law, mother-in-law, and my daughter. And when that she agreed, because when my wife was feeling well, we would do that every so often. We would take her out for dinner, and they'd have we'd all have a good time. So when the time came for her birthday, my father-in-law was having surgery, and he didn't feel well, so it went past her birthday. So when my father-in-law started feeling better, I said to my father-in-law, "We're going to take out Sister Linda for dinner." He says, "I don't want to go. I don't feel great. Take your mother-in-law." My mother-in-law did want to go. And my daughter, at the time, she was like going on 19. And I'm going out with who, when, what? So I said, "I'm not going to push you to do something that you don't want to do." So I'm a man of my word. So I called Linda, Sister Linda, and I told her, I says, "Look, I told you I would take you out for your birthday. It's past your birthday, but I'm going to... the cards have totally changed, and it's only going to be you and I. And if you don't want to go, I totally understand." She goes, "I want to go because I have something to share with you." So we went out for dinner, and she shared with me that night that she was getting out of the sisters. And she wasn't doing it for me. She was doing it for herself. There was things she wanted to see changed that was never, ever going to change in her lifetime. And her order was from Maine. Her family was from Maine. And her order was, she was one of the younger sisters in there. And she wanted to move out of Maine as far as branching out with her order, the Sisters of St. Joseph, to just go into more communities. And they were really not up to it. They didn't want to. And she was dying inside because she was telling all her cancer patients to live life to the fullest. And she wasn't doing it for herself. And she was in counseling for 2 years, and she knew the decision was right, but it was a very, very difficult decision for her to make. Mm-hmm. And she shared that with me, and I told her I would be here to support her like she supported my wife and I. Mm-hmm. And 22 years later, we're still married. And she's a wonderful, wonderful person, and I know in my heart that if my wife wanted me with someone, it was going to be her. And it was definitely an intervention from a higher source that put us together, because we're both very, very happy. And my daughter, even though, you know, she knew her, there were some trying times at the beginning. But today, you know, 20 years later, and it didn't take that long, but they're like mom and daughter. And it's amazing. And the granddaughters love Mimi, so we're in a great, great place today. And there's days that, you know, we talk about Debbie, and we talk about Debbie with my daughter and the grandchildren, and it's important not to forget someone, even though they're not here. but they're still a part of your life. And life goes on.
It is very important. I agree with that very much, Lou, that I think it's healthy and just I think we're called to remember people that have passed, and people that we've loved in our lives. For the young men out there and even the young women who may be going through a terminal illness in their family and the death and then now the blended family, which is
yes.
tricky business for most people without a lot of stress and traumas around it. Just to blend a family can be difficult enough. Just to educate the audience with that, what was that like initially, and what did you have to do to make it a smooth transition?
As far as Linda's family and my family, they were very, very, very happy for us. And it was not a really big transition. We've traveled to Maine with our daughter and the grandkids, and we visit every so often. And it's a great relationship. Everybody remembers everybody's birthdays, and we get together on important days, and it's a great, great situation. I would say that probably the biggest group I had an issue with was some of my wife's girlfriends from her employment. Like, they were very close, but some of them were like, oh, my God, so soon, but they see us today. And they're so happy for us because they see how happy we are. And they mm-hmm. see how Jennifer is, you know, Jennifer turned out and the grandkids. Mm-hmm. And they're happy for us now, but they couldn't see it at first. They
right.
couldn't see, like, you know. And I think some of them, if something happened to their spouse, I'm not really sure if they would get married again because, their marriage was, you know, I wouldn't say on the rocks, but it wasn't the kind of marriage we had where mm-hmm. we're always happy. And so I think they would never get married again for that situation if something happened. And that's probably why they were kind of surprised what was going on. And maybe because she was in an acquaintance of Debbie and I, and mm-hmm. it was like, some people thought, oh, she was waiting in the wings, but
right,
that wasn't
yeah.
the case. I never, ever, ever thought of her this way. Never.
Well, let's
and
let's
it just happened.
That thought.
And that's why we know it was definitely a higher intervention that put us
yep.
together. And my daughter today, like I said, she is, she's an amazing girl, and she'll call, and and Linda always told her, "I'll always be here for you."
Mm-hmm.
And
well.
I will never try to take the place of your mom,
mm-hmm.
but with that, today she'll call her mom.
Yeah,
and it was on
that,
her.
I think that's
it was on
wonderful.
Her. Yeah, it was on her terms, not Linda's terms,
mm-hmm.
pushing it. But Linda was so excited about her doing that. You know,
mm-hmm. that's wonderful. Let's talk a little bit about how people assume things that they can't possibly know. No one could fully understand what you went through. No one could fully understand what your daughter went through. And when you met Linda and when you married, people assume so much about a set of circumstances that they can't possibly fully relate to. You yourself, it was a learning curve every step of the way, I imagine. You couldn't fully understand it, and now you look back in retrospect and you could say you might have done this or that differently, but it was a learning curve
exactly.
every
and
step
you just
of
do the
way.
And at the moment, and
mm-hmm.
that's all you can do. And then you look back and say, maybe I could have done this differently, and at that point, maybe it would make you a different person and a better person.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, you know.
Well, that's why I think it's so important that we're having this conversation today, because we're taking the mask off the whole emotional aspect of dealing with terminal disease and death, and then moving forward in your life, which that in itself can be a taboo to some people, as you heard from several people in your life, it's too soon. Then you have Linda leaving the church of her own free will, nothing to do with you, but that's rattling another system. So in your life experience, and this is one reason I wanted to hear from you today, you found yourself quite unexpectedly rattling systems that made people uncomfortable. Cancer is a word that makes people uncomfortable. Leaving a church system makes people feel uncomfortable. And there you are in the middle of all of that. You know, what do you do with that?
Exactly. And you know, we got married in the Catholic Church. Linda was, you know, given dispensation from the, you know, Vatican, that she leave, you know, she left legally, and we got married in a Catholic church, and everybody that was there was so happy for us. We had such a great wedding day, although it poured all day long, but it was blessings from heaven. That's what we say, you know. And it's at the end of our wedding, our daughter come running up to us when we were doing the final dance, and she just jumped in, you know.
Oh, nice.
But getting back to my to family, when I first went up to meet my wife's family up in Maine, she wanted me to go up, so we went up for a day, and it was only supposed to be, she had six brothers, one brother, and six sisters, including herself, so it was only supposed to be two of her sisters. So we get to the house, and the six other sisters are there. Her brother's there, nieces and nephews, so everybody's going to be checking us out to see what's going on. So I was not intimidated at all, because I think I handled myself pretty well. But we had such a great time, and then after we left, my wife said to me, "What do you think of my family?" I says, "They are insane. How did you become a nun for 25 years? And they told me, because they all took me 3 weeks when I left, and here I am 25 years later. But your family's wonderful. We all get along very, very well. And that's why I'm saying there's no problems in the family, and I think that's a big plus today, because there's so many families at each other, and jealousy and anger, and I'm not talking to this one, and they don't even realize what they were arguing about 2 years later, but they still won't talk to the person. And it's sad.
True. Sad. It's very sad, and you know, what we've really been saying here today is we need to pull together and work through the various issues. You clearly drew upon your belief system and your faith to do that. We're going to pause it here, Lou, because we're up against another break. So we'll be right back and hear a little bit more of Louis Pastrana.
You sure the people are not sick of hearing me?
Sorry. Nope, not a bit.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Thank you.
Quest into the heart of nature with two acclaimed guides of earth-based wisdom, Survivor Man star Les Stroud and shamanic healer Lynn Roberts. In this 5-day workshop at Omega, August 6th to 11th, you'll restore and nourish your healing connection with the earth and explore ancient practices from cultures around the world. Mention discount code DREAM for 10% off when you register for this workshop with Survivor Man Les Stroud and Lynn Cedar Roberts. Learn more at eomega.org. Looking for a fun and relaxing getaway? Omega Rest and Rejuvenation Retreats are a great way to unwind and renew your spirit. Stroll through the garden, relax by the lake, or try a daily yoga or movement class. You can stretch your body, quiet your mind, and do as much or as little as you choose. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org.
Do you wonder what forgiveness is really all about? Forgiveness can change not only our own lives, but the lives of our families, friends, and loved ones, as well as all life on earth forever. Tune in to The Power of Forgiveness with Lou Lassard on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Monday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern Time. together, we can explore how love and forgiveness are intimately connected, how life's challenges are really blessings. Lou will share his personal journey and how his experiences have been and continue to be wonderful catalysts for his growth. The message of love and forgiveness is universal, timeless, and is at the core of who we are. It's in our DNA.
Experience a different yet profound healing with Reconnective Healing. Includes yet expands beyond any and all known forms of energy healing. The Reconnective Healing spectrum is comprised of the full healing and evolutionary continuum of energy, light, and information. It allows for healings that are not just physical, not just mental, not just emotional, yet go beyond that to bring healing that includes the evolution of your very being and essence. Deborah Beauvais, trained and certified by world-renowned Dr. Eric Pearl, offers appointment hours at Seekonk Family Chiropractic in Seekonk, Massachusetts. For questions or to set up both distance or local sessions, call Deborah at 508-431-1959. Again, 508-431-1959. Or go to lovebyintuition.com. That's lovebyintuition.com.
Explore the latest in past life regression therapy with the nation's foremost expert in the field, Brian Weiss, at Omega Institute, July 14th to 16th. Brian guides you in group exercises, healing visualizations, and meditations. Join us and discover a new level of healing and transformation. Mention discount code DREAM for 10% off when you register for the workshop. Omega is located in Rhinebeck in New York's beautiful Hudson Valley. Learn more at eomega.org or call 877-944-2002.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm so happy to be with you today. We're talking with Louis Pestana about a very interesting life. But before we get back to Lou, I just want to let you know, at the end of this program today, we're going to be playing a beautiful song written by a young man who I absolutely adore, Reese Arnold. He's an autistic gentleman who received a degree in music composition at Berklee. He composes all the music for The Road with Cove Queen Janine. And to honor Lou and his life, his family, his wonderful family, I wanted to end the show today with Faith in Humanity. So at the end, you'll be hearing that wonderful song. And I'm happy to share that with you. Lou, welcome back.
Thank you.
I'm so delighted that you've been sharing such a personal story with us today. One thing I noticed on your website, kind of switching gears, you own a business that you've had, I think, for over 30 years.
Yeah, it'll be 33 years in October.
Yep. You built that business from the ground up?
Yes, yes.
Yes, you did.
I started out and I was very fortunate. I was in the trade since 1969, and I worked for three different companies, and I'm not one to switch, but the first company closed after a while, so I went to another company, and there was a boating accident, and the owner was killed in a boating accident.
Mm.
So I stayed there for a little while, and then the wife came in, and she ran it, but not in a good way. So I decided that I was going to leave, and I didn't know what I was going to do, and I talked to a friend of mine who asked me what I was going to do. I says, I don't know, I'm contemplating whether to start a business or not. So he brought me to a part of it in his building, and he opened this door, and it was everything I needed, all the equipment I needed to start a business. It was, about four or five machines and benches and everything I needed. So he says, are you interested in buying this? So I said, if the price is right, and he talked to the owner, and I bought everything in that room for $10,000.
Mm.
And
wow.
I rented some space, and I started going out getting customers, and slowly but surely, I started in October of 1984, mm-hmm. and in March I hired my first employee, and then every month after that I hired another employee and bought some more equipment and
wow.
continued on, and today I'm in a 5,000 square foot building that I own. I have 6 employees, and my guys, I adore them, they adore me, and it's a great, great situation. My employees don't leave when they come here because they're treated very, very well.
That was my next question, Lou. When I looked on your website, I saw that you had nearly a 0% turnover after 33 years in business. That's unheard of.
Yeah. I had a couple of guys leave because they retired, but
yeah.
I have my supervisor, who is going to be buying my business at the end of this year,
mm-hmm.
so the business will continue on, and I'll still stay on, you know, 3 days a week. I just want to slow down a little bit. I'm in my office
right.
every morning, 5:30, and I stay till about mm-hmm. 4, and I do a lot of work during the day, but I do vacation more than normal. I think I'm using my vacation from 2022 right now. I'm not quite sure, but I think so.
Well, let's hear a little. You've clearly brought your belief system, your point of view about life and how to treat people into the workplace. It's unheard of to have nearly a 0% turnover. So what's your secret? You touched on it. You take care of your employees, but there's got to be more than that.
It's all about family, too. There was a few times where I you know, got a little slow with business, and that all my guys have family, so I was getting myself sick thinking of having to lay someone off.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out to the shop one day, and I said to him, I says, hey, how do you guys feel about working 32 hours a week? I'll still pay your health care. You'll still have your job. And everyone takes a hit that way. That this was before unemployment would allow you to collect one day. Like today, that you can collect for one day, but back then you couldn't. You had to lay them off for a week and have to collect. So it's a better system today that they had then. But they were working 32 hours, and then I started getting busy again, but I didn't have the cash flow because I was paying these guys and there wasn't enough work coming in, but I started getting more work. So I told them, I says, look, we're going to go to 40 hours. I'll pay you 40 hours, and we'll try to get back up to 45 hours. And they all got together, and they walked in my office, and they said, do you have enough work to keep us busy? I says, yes. I just can't afford the overtime. And they all got together, and they said, we'll work 45 hours. Pay us for 40 so you can build your cash flow up and get us all back on board quicker. And that's what
wow.
they did for about 6 weeks. They worked an extra 5 hours a week. But I never, ever forget my guys for that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I take very, very good care of them. As a matter of fact, I saw this this little quote from Richard Branson that
mm-hmm.
I really, really liked, and I put it on the back of my business card. And here goes. It says, clients do not come first. Employees come first. If you take care of your employees, they will take care of your clients. And it's so true.
It is so true. Yeah.
Because when
so
I'm
your,
not...
Your team goes the extra mile for you.
Absolutely.
Really.
Yep. And I also treat them very fairly. You know, I mean, if they're
mm-hmm.
out for some reason, I don't have sick leave per se, but if
yeah.
they're out, I usually pay them for the day. Or if there's if there's a bad storm coming, I'll tell them, take it off. Well, I'll pay you for the day. Don't worry about it,
right,
you know?
Right.
But it works both ways because my guys are never out unless they're really, really, really sick. They
right.
just don't.
Exactly.
They won't just take a day off to say, hey, I'm going to be sick Monday. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And that's where I thrive because I deliver all my products on time. And my customers, you know, I tell my customers I need them, but they also tell me we need you too because
mm-hmm.
you run your business so well that if we give you something and you give us a delivery date, we know it's going to be right, it's going to be on time. And that's so important in this market today.
Oh,
if
it is.
They'll go somewhere else.
More
know?
Than ever, yeah. There's a lot
yeah.
of competition out there.
Yeah.
It sounds like you have a real solid relationship with both your workers and your customers.
Absolutely. Customers are my friends. That's why I could never retire fully, because they're my friends.
I have to ask you this, you know, if you're going to talk to young men now, what advice are you going to give them? Your work ethic is incredible. What would you say to young, well, men and women, not just men, but young people getting into the workforce?
If you, no matter what you do, if you don't feel like you want to go to college, everyone doesn't have to go to college. There's trade schools. I went to Diamond Regional in Fall River, Mass., and I took a four-year high school program in machine shop. And today, like again, I've owned the business for 33 years. I never, ever took a college course, and it's all hands-on. So I basically tell them, if you don't feel your college material, just get a good trade. And if you are college material, go to college, and there's places for everyone today.
Right.
But biggest thing I stress to them is if you're going to work at McDonald's or if you're going to work at Hewlett Packard, just go to work every day, work hard, be positive, and do the best you can, because those people stick out in companies, and that's the ones that move forward. So
that's
all
true.
You can do, just work as hard as you can, and it will be appreciated. And if it's not, you find another company.
Right, yep, you keep rolling along.
Most places, it's so difficult today to get good employees that are going to be there every day and work in your interest and not just their interest. So if you show that, if you show that positivity, you're going to do very, very, very well.
That's good advice. Lou, you just celebrated a birthday. You tell me that you're
22
going
for the third time.
You're going to retire part-time, not fully retire. What's next for you in your life?
I'll probably do some volunteering, and my wife is working on a movie for her book, and hopefully that will come to fruition, and that will keep us busy for a little while. And then we'll probably do some volunteer work, and I'll probably, you know, I might even go back to the school I went to and coach a little bit and tell the students, you know, what's out there and how you can better yourself in the world.
I think that's a great idea. I like the idea of someone like you getting in the school systems and sharing what you've learned over these, 40 years or so of working in this industry and all
Almost
that you've
done. Being kind.
Through. I think it's important, you know, to talk to young people about all of these topics we've covered today. So that I think that would be fabulous to see somebody like yourself.
One of the things,
things
I see with young kids today is some of them got to give up that thinking of they want it for free. There's no such thing anymore.
Right.
There is, but you're not going to go anywhere in life if you just depend on the free stuff. And
everything takes
it's sad
a certain amount of effort
into this situation, you know?
Yeah, it's true. Sadly, we've kind of nurtured a generation of people who don't necessarily have the work ethic and the drive that, you know, older citizens have, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to have this conversation today and build that bridge. There's a gap right there. We're always talking about gaps on the road with Co-Queen Janine. There's a gap between someone like you who's really had a strong work ethic and somebody who thinks, you know, they're going to go into a workplace, they're going to move to the top, they're going to get paid oodles of money for doing next to nothing. You know, we have to be very active in our life and proactive in our life. And I think you've said that very
And the problem today is they all want to start out at the top, and that's another problem. They come in, and if you offer them $12 or $14 an hour to start, oh, no, I want 25. Well, you could be there if you prove yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
it's
a lot
true.
Of them just want to start out at the top, and then they go nowhere because they're looking for that job that doesn't exist unless it's a family business and the parents want to take care of them. And it's difficult for some of these kids to understand that.
It is. It is. What one short tip would you leave a young person with today, Lou?
Just work very hard and be focused on what your future, where you want your future to be, and believe in yourself.
Mm-hmm. Believe
in yourself, the sky's the limit.
Right. Lou,
owners, businesses will pick that up.
Okay. Lou, I want to thank you for joining us today. Louis Pastana,
thank you for having me.
Of True Machine in Swansea, Massachusetts. It's been a positive delight talking to you. Thank you very much.
Join us next time for The Road with Cove Queen Janine, as she brings us another insightful person eager to reveal ways to build stronger, more meaningful lives and relationships. Tune in for The Road with Cove Queen Janine every Wednesday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern Time by going to DreamVision7Radio.com. Everyone has an interesting story, and those stories can answer important questions. There's an open invitation waiting for you on The Road with Cove Queen Janine. Join Janine and her guests from all over the world, with people from all walks of life, with fascinating stories on The Road. This out-of-the-box hour is on every Wednesday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Let's meet there. Remember, we all have great stories to share.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.